Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
For the Drive's top five at five.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Top five at five brought to you this afternoon by Citizens National Bank. Guy?
Thank you. The first big story of the day, Tennessee moving their home opener to Thursday. It'll be played at 8 p.m. on the SEC network.
That it will. Bowling Green and Tennessee, 8 p.m. kickoff. On a Thursday night in Neyland Stadium as the sun sets, the majestic Tennessee River. Should be fun.
Woo, baby.
Should be fun. As long as we don't checker Neyland. Barry would be mad.
All right, number two. I'd be remorse if I didn't talk about this. Pecorine had what many are considering his farewell last night for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, everybody talking about this online. Was it what happened? Did he just totally ball out his last game?
Oh, he played out of his mind last night. He got the shutout, a 30-save shutout. It's potentially his last start as a Nashville Predator. A lot of people are thinking he's going to go home to Finland after this season and finish out his career there.
Let me ask you, did he play well enough to where you're thinking, man, should we be playing him in the playoffs?
No, Saros is the starter in the playoffs. Okay. And Carolina was resting a lot of their main guys. Nashville was resting a lot of their main guys, too.
So it was a feel-good moment, but it's the end for Pekka.
He's been with the organization since 2004, and it's finally starting to come to the realization that it's coming to an end.
That was a really cool final lap that he got to do, and all this. I mean, the fans gave him so much love. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, nobody left. All the players just went and sat on the bench, let him do his victory lap around the ice, and he said, "I love you" to the fans, and then went on.
Aww. Did you cry a little?
I teared up.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't tear up. A grown man cry.
Strong men also cry.
He was one of my childhood heroes growing up.
Strong men also cry. GP3, it's okay.
All right, moving on to number three. The Oakland Athletics are exploring the potential to relocate out of Oakland. The reasoning is because they want a new stadium. They're still playing in a stadium that was built for football and baseball. It's a dual-use stadium. They want a new one. And the city said that they would provide them one, but it's been in limbo for the last 5 years or so, and just no progress has been made on it. So they filed to relocate, and the MLB is likely going to back them up, but unless Oakland decides.
We think they're just playing hardball with the local government. It's like, look, we've been very patient. You guys are diddly-daddling. You're dragging your feet. It's getting caught up in the red tape. We're going to start looking elsewhere. And if, hopefully they'll – this will spur action, but if not, then maybe it's time to leave, because that is a decrepit, terrible stadium. I mean, the Raiders left it. And if they're not going to build a new stadium for the Raiders, what are the chances they're going to build one for the A's?
Right. And not many people know it, but that city does have two baseball teams. The San Francisco Giants are just on the other side of the bridge.
Good call.
So it's not like if they left, they'd be losing their sport altogether. Yeah.
Like a San Diego or something.
Yeah, you know, we got to get our guy Christopher Gabriel on and get his, because I bet he has some really good insight on the A's situation.
Okay, number four. Kentucky defensive back coach Steve Klinkscale has moved on from the Cats.
Really?
He's accepted a position with Michigan as the assistant or the co-defensive coordinator.
Wait a minute. This is not the guy who got busted DUI. That was
– No.
No, but, it is not.
But that guy still got his job.
What position is this guy coach?
This was their DB coach.
DBs. Okay.
So he is obviously, like you said, leaving for Michigan, and he's actually accepting a dual role position, defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator.
I'm sorry, what now? Defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator?
That is true.
He's coaching both sides of the ball?
Correct.
Are you sure he's not, like, passing defense coordinator?
So here's what it directly reads from Kentucky.com. It says, Sam Webb of the Michigan Insider, 247 Sports affiliate, first reported Tuesday afternoon that Klinkscale has accepted dual roles defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator with the Wolverines, who wanted to act quickly on the replacement.
Yeah.
And this is a coach who has been one of the better recruiting coaches for Kentucky lately.
Well, I know that he recruited the Wade twins.
Yes, that is exactly right.
I found out about this because
from Spring Hill.
It was retweeted onto my timeline. One of their players quote tweeted it with like the hand on head emoji, like saying how this sucks. Like that's one of the guys that they didn't want to leave.
Amen. If you're Josh Heupel, you're playing the long game here. We're about to open up for visits. Just come check it out. Just come visit us, and hopefully you put a decent product on the field. Maybe you get some resolution to the NCAA stuff in the coming months, and you could still recruit the Wade twins. You can still recruit a lot of players out there. You just got to be patient.
And this one's interesting as well. If you look at the top rankings of recruiting coaches, I guess you can basically just say, in the SEC, Kentucky actually had two out of the top seven. Vince Merrow is at number two, and Steve Klinkscale is at number seven. So you get to, you get him out of the league a little bit, and hopefully that kind of trails off Kentucky's success as of late.
It seems like an odd move, though, to go to Michigan. Harbaugh's job up there doesn't seem too secure, and Kentucky seems to be headed in the right direction.
Maybe he wanted both coaching positions. Maybe he really wanted the offense and the defense, because that's still the first thing that I keep going back to on a strange situation.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Last one, number five. A Belgian farmer has accidentally violated a 201-year-old treaty between his country and France. I'm going to butcher the name of this, but it's called the Treaty of Kortrijk, something along those lines.
Sure.
Say it with confidence.
It was signed on March 28th in 1820, and it's basically what divided the two countries. And while he was out farming, he noticed there was a stone in his field. He moved the stone about seven or 8 feet north of where his property was, essentially moving the border of Belgium into France.
Well, wait a minute. The stone is not the border.
It is according to the treaty.
That particular stone?
Yes, the treaty outlined these stones.
The stone sets the border between France and Belgium. Oh.
That is tremendous.
I'm no statesman. Maybe time for a new treaty and draw an actual border as opposed to a physical rock that can be moved by some farmer out in the country.
They said that as long as he complies and decides to move it back, it's a big stone, and it's blocking part of his farming land, I guess. I don't know, but they said as long as he complies and moves it back, there won't be any issues, no trouble.
Why can't we just skip one stone in the line of stones so this one poor farmer can get to his dadgum land? I think that's what we should do.
It happens more than you would think, with like borders and land disputes, and they'll go all the way back.
That is not my forte.
Maps from like 150 years ago.
Yeah,
happens all the time. Is that it?
It's a great point. Like, how did they make borders back in the old days when you couldn't just look at a map? You obviously had to put something there that was just like, hey, on this side of the rock is my land. This side of the rock is your land.
Well, they had surveyors back then. It wasn't all laser guided and everything now.
How did they do it?
By maps with like surveying tools. I don't really understand it.
I've never thought about it until just now. That must have been really difficult and imprecise ultimately.
I don't know.
I think the property starts right here, and I'm just going to mark it off.
Well, I mean, nothing's where you think it is on the entire planet.
What?
If you look at globes maps.
We'll have to put this to a poll. Is anything where you actually think it is on the planet?
No. Have you never seen like the Mercator map and like the argument between maps and how
maps are it's difficult. I mean that's another one.
It's like, not difficult. They were drawn completely incorrectly is
well yeah. I mean, how do you think they drew maps back in the Christopher Columbus days?
To make some certain countries get made to look like huge and they're not.
So if I look up a true map of the world, I'm going to find something completely
different.
Look at
the one. There's one. Look up how many different countries around the world you could actually fit inside Africa.
Oh, it's like Greenland, too. Greenland looks massive on a map, and it's actually pretty tiny.
It's tiny.
# cartographer bear.
I don't know what the website's called, but there is a website where you can like look at a map, grab a country, drag it around, and you can compare it to the real size of other.
Just take a look at Africa. That's one that's pretty wild. Africa and South America, huge in reality. They don't look that way on a map.
They look pretty big on a map.
Not in relation to other countries, like he was saying. Greenland.
Well, they're not countries. They're continents. I mean, come on, Kirk Tiger for Bear.
You know what the hell
you want, if you want to go toe-to-toe with me in a geography contest, we can dance this dance.
Put it up on the TV. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. All right, the AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution sports Twitter account, is getting flamed this afternoon. Very sad story. We referenced it earlier. The great Colt Brennan, great Hawaii quarterback of the late 2000s, has passed away at a young age. I'm not sure what the cause of death is.
37.
But, getting a lot of outpouring of grief from the social media community. And, of course, college football fans. I mean, that was the show. And Norm Chow was out there, and Colt Brennan's throwing for 500 yards a game at midnight, late night games on college football. A lot of fun to watch back then. And played, I believe, for the Redskins for a little minute or two, maybe?
I'm not sure.
I think he had
that.
A cup of coffee in the NFL. But anyway, check out this headline from at AJC Sports on Twitter. Quarterback Georgia defeated in 2008 Sugar Bowl has died.
Didn't even give a name?
No.
Wow. Wow, I'm looking at it right here.
And they are just getting flamed right now.
Quarterback Georgia defeated in 2008 Sugar Bowl has died. That is, oh.
Yeah, including a lot of blue check marks,
horrible
too,
look.
Taking them to task. For
five
that.
Likes, and
they got ratioed pretty good.
Yeah, that's one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
Five likes, 195 replies, and almost 500 quote tweets. When you got 100 times more quote tweets than likes, you know that people are not agreeing with you. That's what I would say.
Travis Cabbage asking, are we talking the circle globe map or flat earth map?
I have no idea.
Yeah, very sad news, Colt Brennan. Man, Hawaii was fun to watch back in those days, right? Who was the other one? They had two quarterbacks back-to-back.
One in a Hawaiian kid?
Was it Chase something? Or?
Well, they had Cole McDonald. That was a couple of years ago.
Cole McDonald, was that it?
It was the white guy who had the dreads. And I don't know. Yeah. He was drafted by the Titans in the seventh round.
Okay.
Chase Head and Eye?
No, I don't know. That's.
I'm just looking up Chase people from.
Brennan was the best of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure. Let's go to the phones. Phil is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Well, you're sorry, W.
Philly.
How you bearing, the fabulous and Trey doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
That game Georgia won, is that? That was Mark Richt's highest ranking ever at Georgia when they were ranked number 2 in the country, I think.
Which game did they won? When Georgia beat Hawaii in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, they were ranked number 2. That's the highest he ever took Georgia.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I mean, he won 2 SEC championships. Never could win a national championship. But, I mean, you could make the argument that Kirby Smart ultimately has not had any more success at Georgia than Mark Richt did. And obviously he's still the coach there and they've got it rolling. He could change that. But, I mean, I think it's fashionable to bash on Mark Richt and say, well, he never could win the big one. He won a lot there, man. He's very accomplished.
Yeah, he had the upper hand on Fulmer at the end there. And pretty much when Saban beat Fulmer that when his first year at Alabama, that pretty much signified – the run was over.
Man, I mean, this the depth of head coaching talent in the SEC in the later part of that decade when you had Saban at Bama and Urban Meyer at Florida, Mark Richt, Philip Fulmer, Les Miles. I mean, it was
– Spurrier.
Steve Spurrier.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah. Now, what's your question today?
Moving the season opener to Thursday night. Good idea, bad idea, don't care?
I really don't care. It's all academic anyway. I mean, we'll probably get more people watching on TV on Thursday night than you would on Saturday on a, you know, ESPN Plus or something.
Now, what would be really cool is I believe this happened one time, and it might have even been all the way back in 2015 when I was a freshman at UT, but for one of the games – if I remember correctly, that we had during the midweek, there were certain departments of the school that actually gave us the next day off from mm-hmm. class. So that allowed the students to be able to treat that game like it was a Saturday instead of just, hey, I can't go to an 8 p.m. class. I got a 9 a.m. tomorrow. Now, I wasn't one of those people who thought that, but there are a lot of people. So I wonder if that could factor in as well.
Is that going to hurt Knoxville's hotel industry, though, by having a game then?
Labor Day weekend? No, what?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I think Danny White is just looking to make a splash, man. I think he's looking to get his name out there. I don't mm-hmm. think that's something that he's really taking into account. I mean, I'm sure he wishes the local business community well and everything, but I'm sure they'll still turn a hefty profit. But, yeah, maybe not quite as much as they would have otherwise.
Well, the key for them is winning those first three games, and I guess Pittsburgh will be the most difficult matchup of all of those three games.
Well, I think that's another probably underlooked part of this. I think this is a big deal, is you got two more days to prepare for that game now. And so anybody that gets a knee bruise or, you know, bangs up an elbow, whatever, they've got two extra days to prepare. And Josh Heupel's got two extra days to sit there and really analyze and say, okay, where – they always say you make the most improvement from your first game to the second. So he's got an extra 2 days to really look at it and say, okay, where are we deficient? Where do we really need to focus on before we go into this game? Because you're right. That Pitt game is pivotal early. Mm-hmm. You win that one, you're going to be 3-0 headed into the Swamp. And even if you lose, you've got Missouri and South Carolina after that. Winnable games, tough games, but winnable games. So you really need to beat Pitt. And I'd be interested. Can you check and see if there's any GP3, any early betting lines on Tennessee and Pitt anywhere?
Well, it will be interesting to see. Our season is going to be determined on Pitt, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Missouri. I think, and Ole Miss. That will be the games determined if Tennessee has a
South Carolina?
Season. Well, I think we'll beat South Carolina. They're worse shape than we are.
Oh, man, I hope so.
We got them here, don't we?
I think it really just depends on how much this defense can step up. I think that adding some of these transfer players are going to help. I think that we are fairly confident that the offense is going to roll heading into next year, just based on prior history and based on knowing what we have. How well can the defense match up against Ole Miss? They got a nasty offense. How well can the defense match up against a Missouri who might not have as good of an offense? That's going to be such a key to those kind of 50-50 games or so, or at least the closer ones.
Missouri still got that quarterback who played pretty well in the season for them last year.
Yeah, they did find their guy a little bit. And that was a huge conversation I remember we went through. Yeah, because we were saying, hey, look at these other coaches. Look at Eli Drinkwitz. He's not afraid to make a quarterback change. He's not afraid to go throw somebody out there. Why aren't we? I remember that very clearly now. You're right.
Does Kentucky have a quarterback?
No.
Joey Gatewood, the four-star transfer from Auburn.
Mm, yeah.
Pretty good prospect.
Did he do anything last year?
No,
but he transferred. I think there was an eligibility saga there, and I mean, they were, for whatever reason, I guess Terry Wilson had naked pictures of Mark Stoops or something, because they just hung on to him forever because he's a winner, and I guess he beat our brains in. But I think Gatewood is supposed to be pretty good.
Well, it'll be interesting. Kentucky has needed a quarterback because they hadn't had one in a while, really. All I see, their quarterback play has been worse than ours going back to, and ours hadn't been stellar at all.
No.
So he lost the starting job to Bo Nix, it looks like, in his first year, even though Bo Nix was the number one ranked quarterback in the 2019 class,
yeah.
And he was like just number three or something. So when you lose to another
just
freshman,
number three.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know, man. I hope he sucks.
Yeah.
What's the people down in Auburn, do they like Will Friend down there at Auburn now?
Oh, God. I was looking at – so when we got the commitment from Foley, the tight end from mm-hmm. Cincinnati, 247 did a story about how Tennessee's creeping up the rankings a little bit. You know, everybody's like, oh, my God, we're only ranked 57th or whatever. And I think we're up to, what, four commitments now in the class of 2022. and I believe up to number 39 or something like that. But one of the schools we passed was Auburn. So whatever conversations and worries we're having about recruiting, they're having the same stuff down there at Auburn. And oh, by the way, they're not dealing with a big NCAA investigation at the same time too. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. But the Auburn also has been known to they got the plantation down there, which takes care of business when players come in town. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably going to finish with a decent signing class. I would be stunned if they don't. And I think Tennessee will finish with a decent one. Probably not what we've become accustomed to or what we're hoping for, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, some just Missouri-esque signing class or anything like that. So it's to answer your question, yeah, I don't know, man. What do you think Auburn thinks about it? They just got tired of the Gus bus, but
well, that's what they do. They get rid of them if they don't get it done. I mean, they're not like Tennessee, keep them around too long.
Yeah, but do you think they drastically improved their situation with Brian Harsin?
No, I don't. They don't. But after 3 or 4 years, they'll blow you out if you don't get it done. That's where they are down there. Instead of us getting 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years.
Well, Gus had 9 lives down there. I mean, he had some early success, but how long did he end up coaching down there? At least 8 or 9 seasons, right?
Yeah, but he did beat Alabama a few times. That probably extended his time down there.
Yeah, sure did.
He was the master at pulling out that one late season win. Or he's on the hot seat. People are starting to look around. All of a sudden, he has a big win over Georgia or Alabama to kind of stave off execution at the last minute.
Which we haven't done in a long time. I guess last time when we beat Kirby in his first year with that Hail Mary. That's the last time we've done anything.
I know, Phil. Hang in there, though.
Depression, isn't it?
Yep.
Again, let it get to you, man.
You and Bear, you did quit arguing the Bear. You know, Bear's got to have, he's got to have a little love instead of people abusing him on the radio. See?
Feel like I've been. Do you feel like I'm abusing you, Bear?
Bear needs a little love.
Do you need love? Do you need a hug?
Hell no.
You want me to hold you? We can have a warm, tender embrace. Loving.
No. No, thanks.
Okay. All right. So
you don't like when people are nice to me.
Just let it be known. I Bear says I'm not abusive, and I've offered to hug him and hold him tenderly, lovingly.
What about me? What about me?
I'm not abusing you.
What about me?
You're making it weird.
Yeah, if you're making it a little weird. I mean, like, if
I
got my arms open for a hug.
If you, okay, man. All right. We'll hug it out here during the break.
You want to give me a hug.
I'll hug you. Stay with us. The Drive Continues, Fan Run Radio.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Fan Run Radio.
Don't.
The Drive Continues. Yeah. Go ahead. UrbanDictionary.com.
Okay. We'll hear from about 20 seconds.
I misspoke earlier. South Carolina president did not resign. He offered to resign, and their board of trustees did not accept the resignation. This is the guy... This is the guy who was trying to – remember we talked about, they won't hire Hugh Freeze because their president is a military man, and he don't put up with no foolishness, right?
Yeah.
Well.
Uh-oh.
That guy's name is Bob Caslin, and during his commencement speech this past weekend, he plagiarized a well-known quote from Admiral William McRaven – straight up plagiarized, and he referred to his school as, quote, the University of California.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Oh, I heard that part.
Rounds.
That was bad.
Yeah, so they're clowning him up there. He offered to resign. They said, no thanks. You'll survive.
Couple of big graduation blunders across the country. Is LSU had theirs? They had
what did they do?
They had a girl named Olivia Brignac, and apparently... They had so many closed captioning issues. So, for instance, when her name got called up, the closed caption read, Sarah is a Big Mac. And then, right above it, you have one of these students was the summa cum laude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although that middle word was starred out.
Oh no! What? Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
So their closed captioning issues was all over the place. So between LSU and now South Carolina, two bad graduations. Well, maybe the LSU one's not bad. It's just funny.
Let's go back to the phones, where Jamie is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Jamie.
It's kind of like you'd expect what happened in South Carolina to happen where, guys.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not us, right?
Ours went
for
well.
For once. Guys, off subject. You ever been so tired you can't go to sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's worst.
Weird.
Isn't it? It's the weirdest thing. Your eyes just get all dried out, but they will not close.
What about when you're so hungry that you can't eat because you just kind of have a stomach pain now? You guys ever
had
that?
No. I've never had that issue. No. I've not come across that.
Oh, I need to see
a
doctor.
What about that cheater friend of Bob Kraft's that tried to say it was cancel culture today about his horse?
That's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, so for folks who don't know what he's talking about, the guy with this horse debacle in the Kentucky Derby, Bob Baffert, said that it's cancel culture, that what they're trying to do, take away his Kentucky Derby championship or whatever. And you know good and well, guys, that here at the end of this season, some dumbass football coach, is going to get fired because he loses a bunch of games. And he's going to go up there and give some interview talking about cancel culture, got rid of it. They just couldn't handle a coach that told it like it is. Like, no, actually, they couldn't handle a coach that went 4-8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Bob Baffert.
This has Mike Gundy written all over it, by the way. Sorry,
yeah, it's him saying that is funny as hell, but I just kind of wish some reporter would have said, or you could have got caught doping your horses. I've heard that it's not the first time this year. Like, he's had other, you know, other horses under his tutelage that, like, six or seven times just this season of horse racing. I don't know if you heard
on the show yesterday, Jamie, but one of the lame excuses, and this is as far as I wasn't cheating, I didn't mean to, I don't know how I failed the steroid test, excuses go, this is the all-time greatest. He is actually pushing the theory that a stable boy who had a cold and was drinking cough syrup urinated in the horse's stall, and then the horse ate the hay that the kid peed on, thus testing positive for the supplement.
Well, why not?
That's beautiful, man.
Why not?
To be able to, to step up there with a straight face and give the stable boy peed in the hay excuse, that's pretty – that takes some cojones.
I'm writing that one down. I'm using that. Oh, good. I love it. Hey, you know what? They're going down kicking and screaming. You got to give him some props for that. But, guys, as far as the Rick and Rich smoking hot question of the day – put me down as meh, but, you know, I'm not completely out on UT football. I'm going to be excited about UT football as always going in, you know, first year, first new coach.
Sure.
But it's kind of like a lot of people have been saying today. I've seen enough to, I'm not going to pretend when I see, you know, what I've seen the last four regimes that I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. You know, I know everybody wants to reference Nick Saban losing to Louisiana Monroe his first year, but, you know, I fully expect if he's the guy, he's going to go ahead and take care of Pittsburgh. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like against Ole Miss because Kiffin's already been there for a year. You know, they'll have a year under, you know, in his system, and they looked pretty damn good last year on offense anyway. But, you know, I am looking forward to some offense. Good God, I mean, last year could have been the most miserable year offensively. I wonder if statistically it was the most miserable year offensively, but it certainly felt like it. I've never seen a team that was so uncoached. I know in 08 and 05 it was, you know, opposite. One year we had a good defense and no offense, and then I think it was 05 our offense played well and we didn't have any defense. But guys, let me ask you this. I fully expect with, you know, the kind of offense that we're at least going to be trying to run under Heupel, we should be able to recruit well to the offensive side of the ball. I'm not concerned. My biggest concern is I do like our Rodney Garner as our D-line coach being able to attract talent. I just wonder about the other positions and the defensive coordinator position overall. I'm curious as to what kind of defense we're going to run. Thoughts on that at all?
Well, I've said I think the defensive coordinator, whoever it was going to be, is in for a tough gig because you couple the type of offense that we're going to run with the fact that college football has just become an offensive game. The rules are slanted in favor of the offense, and nobody does a really good defense anymore. Alabama, who has a dominant defense and has had for the past 15 years, gave up 19 points a game last year. And you might think, well, that sounds pretty good, and it is. But throughout the Saban era, they've given up something like 13 points a game. Mm-hmm. So that went up by an entire touchdown just last season, a year in which they won a national championship and were never really challenged by anybody.
Other than Ole Miss.
Not to mention.
So I think, but Ole Miss roasted them, too.
No, that's what, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that, yeah, we're probably going to give up some points, and it's going to be a struggle. And it was always going to be that way, even if we had hired maybe Kevin Steele. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, a couple months ago, I talked to a high school football coach in Texas, and I was kind of wondering about this similar question. I said, what are the players who are coming into your program, what positions are they wanting to be? Way more offense than normal, because, again, you just see how those are the guys who get on social media. Those are the guys who get
on viral.
Nobody
wants to play defense.
So I think that a lot more kids at a young age are starting to come up in the rankings a little bit, wanting to be an offensive guy. You might just have less defensive talent on the board.
I agree with you, Russ. But I wonder, though, with Alabama's numbers, I wonder if they're skewed as far as being up 50 to nothing in the fourth and playing back up. You know, but coming from somebody who wagered quite a bit on Alabama this season, I noticed that happening late in games. But it's like you said, I wonder if it's the extra offensive possessions, too. You know, we're not grinding out the clock. So on the way out, fellers, what do you think the style of defense that he's going to run is? Do you think he's going to be aggressive? You think he's going to send it like Chavis, or you think he'll try to keep it in front of him? Or do you think it'll just depend on his personnel?
He said in multiple interviews that they want to be aggressive defense that plays for turnovers, and it's not going to bend but don't break. So, again, probably going to give up some plays.
Yeah.
But – yeah, I hope they come after the quarterback and all that kind of thing. So should be interesting.
Kind of reminds me of the way Chief used to play. You can give up a big splash play every now and again, but you really put the pressure on. You know, you try to shut down the run and put the pressure on the quarterback. Play up tight on the receivers. I can live with some big plays. I want to see the effort and the aggressiveness is what I want to see, and I think that'll attract the kind of defense you're going to need to win in this league. But guys, thanks for letting me in. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Jamie, appreciate it.
Positive call out of Jamie?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, and I think what he was talking about fans, he's not going to coach worship again. I think we've all sort of learned that lesson, right?
Sure.
And I think that's what Danny White is dealing with in terms of being surprised by the fan negativity, is that Tennessee fans have learned through three failed coaching hires and really four, if you count Kiffin in there, not to just jump in with both feet, because we've done it so often now. And I think people have just said enough is enough. There are some people jumped in with both feet, and that's fine. You know, better to live in your hopes than in your fears, I say. But there are a lot of people that have been a little bit, I don't want to say skeptical, but it's like, okay, we're going to proceed with caution. It's not that we hate Josh Heupel or we're just not buying into him. It's just that we've been down this road before and we've been burned before, so we're going to take it easy here, and we're not just going to jump in with both feet. And to a guy like Danny White and maybe even Josh Heupel, who aren't from around here and been doing their own things for the past 20 years, whatever, living their lives, they come in here and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, everywhere else we've been, whenever there's a new coaching staff, the fans jump on board. You get a honeymoon period. Why don't we get that here? Well, it's not personal. It's not against you, Danny White. It's not against you, Josh Heupel. It's against Jeremy Pruitt, Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, Lane Kiffin, John Curry, Dave Hart, Mike Hamilton, and this host of people that have let us down. And so at a certain point, you get a little gun shy about just believing in blind faith. I think that's where Tennessee fans are at right now. That's fine. But when you hear Jamie say, listen, I'm going to get excited about the team, and he's already talking ball here in May, then you do realize, of course, that it's Tennessee football. Fans are still excited, and that's only going to grow. That's only going to grow once everybody goes on their vacation and does whatever it is you do during the summer and have your fun on the lake, and all of a sudden, oh, it's SEC media days, huh? Oh, it's college football practices starting here in a couple of weeks. Oh, we got the game coming. People are going to build up to it just like always, and I think they're going to draw a really nice crowd over there for that season opener. I think they could get up near – I don't think it's going to be a sellout. I think it'll be –
It's a 92.
I think it'll be well over 90,000 fans in there. I think it's going to be a darn strong crowd for Bowling Green on a Thursday. I think it'll be pretty good. Stay with us. It's The Drive. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to jump in here in our final segment, we got a little hot take, cold take coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
So you're hot take, cold take. Brought to you by the fine folks at Blue Water Climate Control, your locally owned, veteran-owned HVAC specialist. Anything to do with your heating and air conditioning, it's bluewaterclimatecontrol.com.
All right, first one for you guys today. Tennessee will wear at least two alternate jerseys this season.
Now, we talk alternate jerseys.
Or alternate jersey combinations.
Does orange on orange count for
no.
that?
No.
You're talking about smoky gray.
So either gray or the Condrich Holloway throwbacks or black jerseys. Or a different helmet.
Two?
Oh, this is tough.
I'm going to say hot. I think these guys are going to push the envelope. Mm-hmm. Danny White, mm-hmm. Josh Heupel. I think they're going to mix it up.
Ice cold.
Ice cold?
Ice cold is in. Obviously, you don't want it to happen, but do you think it's not going to happen?
No, I don't think it'll happen.
Do you think they'll wear one?
I think they'll probably wear one. It better not be that damn smoky gray.
I think that over the course of the show today, I've been convinced that we could see a throwback and we could see a black jersey. Maybe. So I'll go two. Yeah, hot take.
All right.
I think that mix up the smoky gray with the white. The quarterbacks were wearing it
during
the spring
game. They were wearing it. People loved it.
It didn't look terrible.
People liked it, actually.
I mean, I think you could tweak it a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the gray on gray on gray.
Well, again, it's weird because you just got the such dark color in the middle with the whites on the helmet and the pants. That was the jarring part to me.
Yeah.
You needed gray helmets, maybe.
Well, when they wear the actual smoky grays, they wear the gray helmets with the mountains on the.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd put them out there in those and the white pants. I think it looks good.
At some point.
All right, second one for you. I originally had this as a top 20. I'm going to change it to top 15. Tennessee will finish with a top 15 recruiting class. I think top 20 is more likely, so I'm a
I'm going to say cold take. I think top 20, maybe even top 25 is probably more likely.
I'm going to go cold take as well. I think we need a little bit longer to start getting some of the, you know, to start really showing that this is a place where people want to come and proven place, right, that knows it has good offensive capabilities. I'm going to say cold take for now.
Cold take.
All right, last one for today. Reese's is the best candy that you can get from a grocery store. Or not a grocery store, a gas station.
You can get a lot more candy from a grocery store than you can a gas station?
Yeah, I meant gas. Because I did Slim Jim last week. Now I'm doing Reese's.
Reese's.
Remember we went through a Reese's kick there for a minute back when it was me and you and oh yeah.
I don't want to talk about
that.
I would
say hot take. It's pretty good. It's hard to beat a Reese's, man. Every now and then I enjoy a Snickers, mix it up, maybe a Twix bar or something like
maybe
that.
A Kit Kat, but nothing hits like a good Reese's.
Kit Kat's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry to say this, but I'm allergic to peanuts, so I've never
had
one.
You got a peanut allergy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had one.
Oh, my God.
Never had a PB&J, the Reese's, the Snickers, none of it. None of it. Never.
So, wait a minute. If I brought in just like a jar of nuts here, would you be freaking out right now?
No. No. I cannot
ingest. You just can't touch it or eat it?
Touching is even fine. It's just once it goes into my system.
Have you ever eaten one?
Once.
What happens?
Just had a breakout, right? Like my throat swelled
shock?
Up, closed.
Yeah,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Shock.
Full electric.
like granted, boy in the bubble. Like you almost dropped dead.
It's when I was like four or five kids. Years old. So I've never tested it in my 15 or 16 years after that.
Is it all nuts?
Yes. As far as I know. I mean, I've never gone close. I don't care.
Really?
Why would I care about something that I've never had in the first place? That's always been my thing when people are like, how do you live? How do you live without a Reese's bar? Like, I've never had it.
It's not a bar.
Who cares?
It's a cup.
I feel like, so you had one bad reaction when you were four.
Yes.
I feel like you should have worked through this. If you take like a little chip of just a little small peanut and like.
No, you can't
mess
around. Not people with peanut allergies, you can't.
I may have grown out of it.
So
I think there could be a chance that I accidentally.
Wait, have you ever eaten anything that was cooked in like peanut oil?
Sure.
Like
yeah.
A Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, because don't yeah. People with peanut
five
allergies.
Five guys?
I've eaten five guys all the time.
You might want to make yourself a point with an allergist and see, get tested again. But I wouldn't start off. I wouldn't start off by buying a bag of peanuts down at the local convenience store and just
me and Brandon over
mouth.
Sitting
yeah.
on the couch. If yeah, I have a reaction, no. Brandon's got to be
I mean,
the one to
not,
save
not
me.
Not unless you have an EpiPen handy.
It's true.
So
people with peanut allergies, it's really dangerous.
It's mm-hmm. been a long time, but I read about this a couple of years ago, and basically the peanut allergies in America, in particular in America, have skyrocketed in like the last 20 or 30 years. And basically what they found was because of the awareness. And people say, oh, you've got a peanut allergy. Nobody can bring a peanut into this entire school. And it's basically like allergy immunotherapy, right? Where most people who had peanut allergies pre-1985, 1990, whenever this peanut allergy craze went into effect, you had it, but it's like you. Maybe it's not that big a deal. You eat peanuts and you get over it, man. You like force yourself. Your body adapts to – two peanuts. And so now by being so careful, the road to whatever is paved with good intentions, like we're trying to protect so many people, but we've actually made the problem much, much worse.
Well, I very much could be in that category, right?
I'm telling you.
Somebody who maybe never got
That's
tested
nuts.
Again. I know my sister has been told that she's allergic as well. I don't think she is.
The cub grew out of he was allergic to apples. He's grown out of it.
Yeah.
Apples.
Yeah. You just got to force through it.
I don't want to. That's the only issue.
My grandma's allergic to the sun.
Do what?
My grandma, she's allergic to the sun.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Really?
Anytime she goes outside, she has to wear like a special sunscreen.
Anytime she goes outside.
So like UV rays.
Or
so
if she's wearing like long sleeve shirt, that's
so
fine
she
too.
Probably just stays inside as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Wow. Allergic to like UV rays. That's insane.
Huh.
Wow. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Blue Water Climate Control, ladies and gentlemen, online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Proud to be affiliated with those fine folks. Don't forget, you got any sort of service repair issue with your heating and air unit, give them a call at 865-299-2290. They'll come right over and fix it the right way the first time. No screwing around with these guys. It's Blue Water Climate Control. They do a fantastic job. Online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Rick, you found some information. Kendall Rogers over at D1 he's doing his Joe Lunardi routine for college baseball.
Love it.
And we have the latest NCAA tournament projections for Tony Vitello's crew.
Yeah, first off, it is interesting to see the SEC and ACC tied at the top with 9 projected teams each. But looking down at the field of 64, you kind of go through and you see these 16 regional spots. Good news is Tennessee is in those categories. So here it here's how it goes. Number one overall seed, Arkansas, then Vanderbilt, then Texas, then number four is Mississippi State, number five, TCU, and then number six, your Tennessee Volunteers hosting the regional in Knoxville. So they have us within the top half at the number six overall one. But that looks like everything is pretty much set in stone to where Tennessee is going to likely host. Right now in the category is Georgia Tech as the number two in Knoxville, Liberty as the number three in Knoxville, and BCU, Virginia Commonwealth, as number four in Knoxville.
So who are the three again? Liberty, VCU, and
GT, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So there you go. Good
Should
projections.
Be a wild scene, man. Hosting a regional here this year would be a lot of fun. Let's get Roger in here as we wrap up on this Tuesday evening edition of the show. What's up, Rog?
Hold on, Russell. How y'all doing?
Doing very well. How are you, sir?
Doing fine, Russell. Doing good. Good to talk to y'all. I just wanted to ask y'all, first is about you. I know Mother was yesterday. Well, I mean, not yesterday, I mean, Sunday. I mean, I just want to ask you, so did you and Ian Tierenbear, did your mom have a good day, Sunday?
I hope so. She didn't offer any complaints.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. I just wanted to ask about that first, and I just wanted to ask you, Russ, from Bear, and all y'all about I heard that we're playing going on Thursday night. I just want to ask you, you like that? You like their playing? You like that? They're playing on Thursday night. First game on Thursday night.
I love it, man. I love it. I think it's a great move, Raj. I think it generates some publicity and enthusiasm. And hopefully, you know, this is a game we should win. GP3 is already calling us a 26.5-point favorite per a certain sports book out there. So if it's a game that you go out there and you hammer somebody and more people are watching, then I think it's a very good move.
How about you, Bear?
Yeah.
Bear?
Yeah, why not? 2 days earlier, we won't have to wait.
Yeah, true. do you think this offense against Florida, Georgia, Alabama this year? Do you think in first year, think it's going to? His offense going to build his first year.
I don't think that we're going to be able to beat any of those three teams, Raj. But I think I would be satisfied if we just, in at least one of those games, throw a scare into somebody. Be in one of those games in the second half, and really, probably the most realistic candidate. In my opinion, and talk more about this in the future because it's a good topic, but probably Georgia because it's at home.
Yeah.
And it's later in the season, so hopefully we'll have settled on a quarterback by then and players will have developed in the system a little bit. And, you know, if you can – I mean, heck, if you could win one of those games, it'd be unbelievable, an unbelievable success. But – If you could be in that game with Georgia in the second half, just sort of hang around and at least put a scare into them, I think having that late in the year gives your fan base some hope, something you can sell on the recruiting, say, look, even with everything that went wrong, we're still going toe-to-toe with these guys. Then I know some people say, oh, that sounds like loser talk, but, hey, man, that's where you are right now. It's incremental improvement. So, Raj, thanks for the phone call. So – as we get set to head out, the AJC deleted that tweet, but then they just changed it to quarterback from 2008 Sugar Bowl dies?
Yes. So they changed it from quarterback Georgia defeated in 2008 Sugar Bowl has died to quarterback in 2008 Sugar Bowl has died.
You think he's somebody's going to get fired over this?
The man's got a name.
What are you – Who's running that account?
Why are we going back to the Sugar Bowl? Like, that's an important thing. The 2008 Sugar Bowl. Like, we all know that.
I think it's because they're based out of Atlanta.
But still.
So they're just trying to appeal to
It's called freaking Brennan.
It's a poor taste. It's really bad.
And just say, legendary Hawaii quarterback passes away.
Former Washington Redskin, former Hawaii quarterback, Colt Brennan, died.
Man, weird. What a weird self-inflicted wound.
Really, really sad.
He's got a name.
His dad's come out and made a statement.
So. About the tweet?
No.
Oh, fine. I was going to say, damn.
No, he died of a fentanyl overdose.
Really?
Yeah, and he had tried to check in to rehab that the afternoon, and they didn't have a bed for him.
That's so sad. That's so sad, man. All right. On that note, stay tuned. Overtime is coming up next. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, GP3. Thank you, Bear. We will do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.